Tom Wilmer, reporting from downtown San Luis Obispo.
My name's Matt Flanders, and I am the director, producer, and co-writer of How to Date Again, playing at the San Luis Obispo Film Festival.
How cool. Well, the first question I had for you when I read about you, how did it happen? What was the epiphanous moment to go from a dream or a vision to deciding to make a movie?
You know, I've been working in film for about 20 plus years, and a friend of mine had produced a short film based on a true story about a guy who loses his wife to ovarian cancer when she was just 30 years old, and it was just a short time after giving birth to their first child.
Wow, true story.
A true story. And so his name's Rob Moore, and he was dealing with this grief for a long time, and he's trying to figure out, where do I channel this grief? So he made a short film about it.
Short meaning what, 15, 20 minutes?
Less than that, like a 10-minute short film. After it went to some festivals and did really well, he said, you know, this message of hope from this story, I think it would be great if it was a longer version. So he started working on a script, and my friend who produced it sent me the script, and she said, we're having some trouble here. We're just wanting to kind of take this to the next level, and I'm kind of known as a bit of a story and script fixer. So I read it and was really inspired by the story and got involved with rewriting it, and then they asked me to direct. It just kind of went really quickly. I mean, they approached me in March, and we were shooting by May. So it went really, really quick, and kind of feels like maybe there's somebody up above watching down on us and making things go smoothly. So Rob actually plays himself, or a character loosely based on himself in the movie, so it's kind of cool that the person whose story it is also the lead actor.
A little bit out of context, but let's back up, because one of my other first thoughts about you was, how did you go from zero to, you know, square one in your world?
You know, I was a kid, grew up in a small town in Montana. It's called Helena, Montana. It's the capital, but it was a small town. You know, a lot of people there, it's sort of like the things to do are play sports, and I was never really a sports guy. My mom owned a bookstore, and I loved stories. I was really imaginative, sort of like was always making up things and telling tall tales and all of that. I think my parents were like, how are we going to channel this? And they got me involved in a local community theater there called Grand Street Theater. That's an amazing place. It's still there today. They just had their 50th anniversary.
So you were on stage?
Yeah, I was. And I was, they had a theater school for kids that started with 20 kids, and now, like in the summer, I think they have like 250. It's an amazing, amazing place, and I credit them with a lot of my confidence, my storytelling abilities. And yeah, so I went from acting and then moved to LA, tried to do that a bit, and was like, oh, I don't like the lack of control in this. And so I kind of stepped behind the camera, and I've done everything from the writing to location scouting to, I worked at Brad Pitt's production company for 4 years and worked on huge movies like World War Z and 12 Years a Slave and Eat, Pray, Love. And so I did all that. And then I was like, again, kind of this lack of agency, I guess you'd say, where I was kind of helping everybody else tell their story. Mm-hmm. So I decided to step aside and try to make my own. And I worked as a producer. And
what was your first assignment?
I produced a film about the Unabomber.
Wow.
Ted Kaczynski. It's called Ted K with Charlton Copley. Neon released it. It's actually an incredible movie, and it's just about what he was doing in Montana. It's not so much about the terror attacks as it is about what his downtime. And we, you know, that happened 30 miles from where I grew up. So we filmed there. We actually rebuilt his cabin exactly where it once stood. Some of his neighbors are in the film. We shot all over Lincoln. So, you know, that was my first kind of thing. It was a combination of my movie making and my hometown storytelling. So it was a cool combination there.
You got that one put away.
Yeah.
So now you're kind of square one again.
Yeah, I did that one, and then I kind of fill my time with like writing gigs here and there. I would do a lot of live television, work on red carpet shows for the Oscars and the Emmys and the Grammys, and I do all that. But I, you know, I really love narrative. I really love telling stories. So I had a movie that I wrote that I wanted to direct, and then there was all the strikes. There was the writer strike and the actor strike, and so that sort of that project fell apart. And then while I was trying to put it back together, this came across my desk and this opportunity came about. And like I said, it just went really, really quick. I mean, we finished filming in mid-June, just 2020. 25, so we're already having our premiere less than a year later. It's really kind of a miracle how fast it's happened.
A little head spinning, huh?
Yeah, but it feels right. It really does feel like it's just kind of meant to be. And it was really important for us to bring the movie and kind of share it first with Slow, because everybody was so warm and welcoming here, and it feels like a homecoming.
And you filmed locally some, right?
Yeah, we filmed in Morro Bay. We filmed at a beautiful bookstore called Coalesce.
Yeah,
it's an amazing place. They were very, very welcoming. And then we filmed Tidelands Park in Morro Bay. And then we filmed for almost a week at Madonna Inn, the iconic Madonna Inn.
So great locations, huh?
Oh, amazing. I mean, it's about a guy who, he's brokenhearted. It steers away from Rob's story a bit, but he's a brokenhearted animator. And he's trying to get back out there in the dating world. And his friends are kind of pushing him, and he's not really ready. And then he meets this woman who inspires him to make some changes. And they go on a wild date up the California coast. We needed some really beautiful sort of magical locations. And you can't get much more magical than the Rock in Morro Bay and Coalesce itself is just a beautiful spot. And then Madonna Inn just feels like a dream. You know, you're in some sort of wild, fantastical dream. I mean, our production designer was in heaven going in there. She's like, oh, I don't have to do much. It's already
ready to roll. And again, the name of the movie,
it's called How to Date Again.
How to Date Again.
Yeah.
So it's tutorial then.
There's some lessons along the way, but it's not too heavy-handed.
Sure.
Yeah, and it is a romantic comedy with some twists and some turns. There's a lot of heart there, but we call it a rom-com with a twist.
That's really cool. So here we are today, this week.
Yeah.
You have like an unveiling, a special premiere here.
Yeah, this is our world premiere here at San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. That's Saturday, the 25th at 7:15. And then we have two more screenings. We have one on Sunday at 10:45, and then I think 5 o'clock on Monday. And people can just go to the Slow Film Fest website to find out exact timing. And they can also go to get tickets there. And they can also find out on our website, howtodateagain.com. We have all that stuff listed as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So making the movie is just half the battle.
It's
in the can, and it's kind of like, now what, right?
That's the biggest eye-opener, is that you think, first of all, that prepping for the movie is tough. And then you're shooting, you're like, wow, this is tough. Especially, you know, a small-budget film is hard to do these days. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're shooting in Los Angeles and, you know, it's not like one location. We have multiple locations, multiple cities. But then, you know, the thing that I was kind of not unprepared but didn't realize how hard it was kind of the promotion, the festivals, the getting the movie out there for people to see is a whole other journey.
And then distribution, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, you've got to, hopefully, you know, we have a sales agent who they're taking it to market at the Cannes Film Festival to hopefully find us a distributor, and we'll see what happens. But I really think that these festivals are great because they just get people talking about it. They get a built-in audience. They start following you on Instagram. You start building followers. And then when distributors go to take a look at that, they're like, oh, there's some interest here already, you know. But it's a big job, you know, to market it, promote it, distribute it. So for those filmmakers out there who are listening, it's, you know, making the movie's great. Just be prepared that there's work to be done after as well.
It goes on and on and on, right?
Yeah.
And it seems to me one of the key ingredients is harnessing film festivals, right?
Yeah. There's several festivals that are great for, you know, selling the movie to distributors, you know, whether that's the Sundance or the South by Southwest or the Toronto Film Festival or Tribeca. Those are great for kind of like sales markets. And then there's these great second tier, like great local festivals. And I think they're as valuable because, as I was saying, it's about building an audience and getting people talking about the film and getting people to say, oh, we just saw this movie at this festival. Watch out for it when it comes out. Or they start posting about it on their social media. Or
what you're saying is it's just as important to showcase at San Luis Obispo as it is at Sundance.
I believe so. You know, there's obviously everybody knows the name Sundance, but it's become very commercial. And a lot of those movies that are showing there already have distribution. They're already ready to go into the world and they don't need the help. And these smaller festivals, I mean, they do an incredible job here. I was blown away by the opening night last night. They just do an incredible job and have passionate film lovers, and those are, for small films, that's what you need. You need to find those people that love film and are going to talk about film.
Just head spinning, really.
Yeah, it's, I now know how to make a movie from every angle, and constantly learning, you know, which is good. You know, it's kind of crazy to be in your 50s and directing your first film. I've been in the business a long time, but, you know, I was kind of disenchanted when my other film fell apart, and I was just like, you know what, like, this is what you love doing, just figure it out. And then this opportunity came around, and I just feel really alive and really excited. And it's good to kind of do stuff later in life that you're afraid of, you know, because it just wakes you up a bit.
Another kind of behind the scenes ingredient is funding and financing.
Yeah, financing is, if anybody has $2 million they want to send me, I have my next movie ready to go.
But you have to get investors that believe in you as much as you believe in yourself.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, this will help with that, is to show that, you know, I'm a proven filmmaker and all of that. But, you know, our investors, a lot of them are family, friends, some grants, some Kickstarter campaigns, that those Seed and Spark, those type of things have been helpful. You know, we were really careful to make sure, we want to really want our investors to get paid back, because a lot of times you spend way too much and they don't see their money back. So we're careful about that. I don't think you would ever guess the budget, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I don't think you would guess it watching the film. We just had so many kind people. I think they were touched by the story and wanted to help. Our sound producer, Brent Findlay, who does Ted Lasso, and he's just top of his game, and he just jumped on board and really helped us and did it for a fee that was ridiculously low for his talents. And, you know, we were able to do our final sound mix at Universal Studios in the big theater, and, you know, the Madonna Inn, again, like, just welcoming us in. And a lot of these places that, you know, you're still paying for things, but I think they understand that we're a small movie, and so they make concessions. And we shot at Bob's Big Boy, who are notorious for not really, they don't always let everybody use their logo, you know, the Big Boy logo. And they were just so kind and said, oh, this sounds lovely, and we'd love the logo to be in the film. And it feels good to be a part of something that people want to be a part of and want to help with.
In a moment on location filming in small towns like San Luis or Morro Bay, is there a lower bar financially?
Well, you know, because you're traveling all your cast and crew. So most of them are from Los Angeles. So we had to put them up and feed them. And, you know, you feed them obviously when they're on set, but typically they'd go home and have their dinner. And here we're covering all their meals, all their transportation, all their room and lodging. So there's, you know, it's kind of 50-50 there. But we really needed this movie to feel like they went somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to cheat by just, you know, going down to Venice Beach or something like that. I wanted it to feel very outside of Los Angeles.
And the reason Morro Bay and locally, part of it has to do with backstory, your parents, right?
Oh yeah, that's true. My parents are from that little town in Montana, from Helena, and the winters there are brutal. And they've been coming down for 20 years to Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo. They usually go to Morro Bay for a couple months, and then they'll come to San Luis Obispo to get some town and get some culture. And they've been to the film festival. Yeah, so when we started thinking of places to go, it was always in the back of my mind. And, you know, my dream was to shoot at Madonna Inn, but I just thought, oh, I hadn't seen many films that had shot there. So I was like, I just don't know if it'll happen. But they were, again, just so welcoming. And once that locked in, we were just like, oh, wow. Like, and then I said, oh, I know where to do the bookstore. Yeah. I've been to the Coalesce bookstore, you know. I know where I want to shoot this scene. And then my dad actually suggested some of the locations, like for the beauty shots. He's like, oh, you need to go to Tidelands Park, and there's these picnic tables, and they look over the rock, and there's boats going by. So it was cool. Yeah. And they were super excited.
I bet.
Yeah.
So all meant to be, really.
It feels like it. Yeah. Like Rob's wife, who passed away, her name was Noelle. And when we called the Madonna Inn to ask about filming, the person who answered the phone's name was Noelle. Oh. And we were like, oh, this is meant to be. This is meant to be. They're going to say yes. We really crossed our fingers, and it happened. Yeah, and then the whole thing at Coalesce, you know, Lena Thomas, who owned Coalesce, passed away. And she actually passed away just days before we started shooting. And wow. She was really, really excited about the film coming. And we were talking to her, and our producer, Josette, got very close with her and just had so many wonderful conversations. And so we were super excited. And then we couldn't reach them on the phone and found out that she'd passed away. And we said, oh, should we find another location? And they said, absolutely not. And even though they were all grieving and it was a horrible time, they welcomed us, and her lovely husband, Lance, came in and personally welcomed us. And I asked him if he knew what the movie was about. And, you know, it's about heartbreak and trying to kind of recover from that. And he didn't know. So he had a nice sit down with Rob back in their beautiful garden there. And again, there was just a lot of moments like that. Like, felt like everything just kind of fell into place, and our cast fell into our locations fell into place. It just kind of all felt meant to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, meant to be.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and our cast is, you know, incredible. Haley Joel Osment, who's getting an award at the festival this year, plays the night manager at the hotel. Kevin Nealon plays Rob's from Saturday Night Live. He plays Rob's therapist. Wonderful actress.
How did you harness it? The actors, actresses.
It's hard. You obviously know that it helps to kind of get a movie out there when there's a couple recognizable faces. So our lead actress, her name is Natasha Loring, and she's this incredible South African actress that everybody falls in love with, both on screen and off. She's just an incredible human and the perfect person for a romantic comedy, because you're like, of course he's going to fall for her. She knew Haley. And then also Rob had gone to NYU with Haley at the same time. And so we just wrote him a heartfelt letter and went back and forth. He read the script and said yes. And our producer, Josette Eels, has been an actress. She's a director now and a producer herself, but she had acted before and she had worked with Kevin and just adored him. So she personally reached out to him. And then Emilio Rivera, who people will know from Sons of Anarchy and The Mayans, we just reached out to his agent, and he read the script and loved it, and he plays a really pivotal role that helps wake Rob's character up. I think it's the story, it's the personal relationships, it's being able to write a good cover letter that says, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what it's about, we'd love to have you, and this is why. Not just because you have a name, but why you were right for the role. So I think it was all of those things, you know.
So here we are, showcasing at San Luis Obispo Film Festival.
Yeah.
Then where do you go? Then what happened?
I can't reveal, because we just found out that we're going to another festival, a very good festival, but we're unable to say where yet, because they said, please hold off until we announce it. So we're going to do another festival. Like I said, they're going to take the movie to market at Cannes. Hopefully the sales agent, Archstone Entertainment, our sales agent, will contact the right kind of distributor that's ready to give people a sweet, funny, moving romantic comedy, and whether that means that it's a theatrical release in small indie theaters or whether that's just going straight to streamers, we're not sure where yet. That's kind of the exciting part. Like I said, everything kind of seems to be happening the way it's supposed to, so I'm just going to have faith that it finds the right home. But I really want people to see it, and so hopefully people can find it easily soon.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so to learn more about the film and your world.
Yeah. If people would like to learn more about How to Date Again, they can go to howtodateagain.com. And we're posting constantly on Instagram, and we're posting constantly on Instagram at How to Date Again. And that's where we're kind of doing all of our updates about festivals and, you know, different awards and different exciting things that are happening with the film. So either the website or the social media handle, that's the best way to find out where we're going next.
I love it. So before we go, where are you going next? What's in your brain? What are you dreaming about right now?
Oh, I have a movie that I wrote that I'm really excited about. It feels of this time. It feels very me. It's a dark comedy about the end of the world. It's called It Was a Blast, about some very artsy, sort of somewhat privileged New Yorkers who go to their country house when the end of the world happens, and they have to figure out how to survive, and they realize that the skills that they have really are not enough. And I remember there was a major flood when I was driving with my dad, and I looked out the window, and I was thinking about the floods overseas that were wiping out villages, and I was like, gosh, if anything like that happened in America, we would not know what to do. Young people today don't have those skills of, what do you do if you don't have power? What do you do if you don't have internet? What do you do if you don't have heat? What do you do, you know, if there's no grocery stores? And so I just started kind of ruminating on that and kind of came up with this idea. And it's not too heavy-handed. It's pretty light and funny, but it's definitely, it's good for these times.
Well, thank you so much.
It's yeah.
an honor and a pleasure to meet you.
It was very nice talking with you. I enjoyed our conversation. And my name is Matt Flanders, the writer, director, and producer of How to Date Again at the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival.
Well, you know where I'm going pretty soon.
Where's
I'm going
that?
To the theater.
Yay! Yeah, come see us. Come see us.
I will.
And come say hi after. We're going to have Q&As after, and I'd love to see you.
Love it. I'll plan on it. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from downtown San Luis Obispo.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station. Yeah, not anymore.